Do please turn to page 1073 in your church Bibles. Today's reading is John chapter 8, verses 12 to 30. Page 1073 of the church Bibles. John chapter 8, starting at verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, Where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away and you will look for me and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, Where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Just what I have been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. They didn't understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He hasn't left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together for a moment. Dear Lord, we pray as we look here at this passage, this statement of Jesus, that you would open our mind to understand what you are saying to us and our hearts to receive it. Amen. As Tom explained, we're looking... following the Christmas services, a short series considering three of what are called the I Am statements made by Jesus about himself and about his mission. Under the title is of Who is this baby? So we're looking from Christmas to what's happening here now. And it made me remember a song that some years ago that came out. You won't have heard it in this continuous loop you get when at Christmas time walking around shops, cafes and so on. You won't have heard it there, I dare say. I doubt anyway you would have. And it's got an imaginatively entitled A Christmas Song. That's what it's called. And but you might recognise some of the verses because the words, because they pinched it from another song you will know. So it goes like this. Once in Royal David's city stood a lonely cattle shed. Notice they've changed the word there. Where a mother held her baby. You do well to remember the things he later said. Well, that's exactly what we're doing today. We're looking at the things he later said. And you'll have picked up that today we're looking at his claim to be the light of the world. But before we do that, we need to look at the context of this, at the statement. Because the theme of light crops up a lot in the Bible, right from the first book in the creation story. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. So they're talking there about physical light, but the Bible also speaks about spiritual light. Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength, is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" But also in the Bible, it's prophesied long before Jesus was born that a light would come into the world in human form, even as a baby. Chapter 49, verse 6. "I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." A prophecy, a prediction there that you and I would one day be given a light, come to know and follow a light, which would come through the Jewish people. And then my favorite Christmas verse, Isaiah 9, verse 2, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." That prophecy is that would come through a child, because then in verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So now, at this moment in history, as Jesus stands in the temple, he is claiming to be that light. So there's that context, but then the gospel writer John wants us to note where Jesus is when he makes this statement. Did you notice that? It's worth having the passage open if you've got that, page 1073. And you may have spotted it in verse 20 of chapter 8. John records this. "He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put." Why so very specific about where he stands? Well, back in chapter 7, the previous chapter, Jesus records that this is the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles, and Jesus is speaking in teaching in the temple or at that time. And he's getting into a lively debate with the Jewish leaders about his teaching, about what authority he had to teach in this way. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, it says, "The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law." Well, the people were impressed by that, not so much the teachers of the law. So the debate continues. And that's where we pick it up, really, because in verse 12 it says, "When Jesus spoke again to the people," though it spoke again, so the debate continues. At the Feast of the Tabernacles, what they are celebrating was how God led the Jewish people through the desert, through the wilderness, by means of a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They followed the light, and that's what they're celebrating. And part of the celebration involved huge candelabras they used in the temple. I mean, these weren't sort of things you stick on the mantelpiece. They're massive. You'd have to have a sort of step or a ladder in order to light them. And the light from these filled the whole temple and out into the surrounding area. The festival has in fact sometimes been called a celebration of light. So what John is pointing out is that is where Jesus is standing right among these symbols of God's saving light when he makes the statement, I am the light of the world. That's, if you like, the backstory. But it's also true that we have a backstory, because people use light and darkness a lot now today as metaphors, saying things like, it sheds light on our understanding. You might have seen the televised service in the Westminster Abbey with the Prince and Princess of Wales. And during that service, someone stood up and said, Christmas is all about light and love. Unfortunately, they didn't go on to say what they meant by that. So let us not do that. Let us now consider what Jesus meant when he says, I am the light of the world. So I saw in this passage, and particularly verse 12, 3 points, which should come up in a minute. So it's a light to follow, it's a light that reveals the truth, and it's a light that brings life. So let's look at first at the first of those, a light to follow. Whoever follows me, it says, verse 12. This then is totally in keeping with the symbolism that the festival is all about, a light which God's people follow. Excepting, of course, that Jesus is declaring that he is that light. He is the light, then, in a sense that he will guide all who follow him, lead them as God led them in the wilderness out of darkness. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light on my path. Just as you might use a torch in which to see the path that you need to walk on, we need Jesus to guide us through life. It is the truth that the disciples had already been discovering. And countless people can give testimony, many here I'm sure, to the truth of this, that through their life, through its difficulties, tragedies, and joys, all the stuff that life can throw at you, it is their faith in Jesus that has sustained them, directed them, shown them the way forward, and been the light in the darkness. But you will have noticed, as you follow the reading, that the Jewish leader's response is to immediately go on the offensive and challenge him. Deny this, try to cancel what he's saying. Now that may appear to you to be a distraction from considering how Jesus is the light. But in fact, this confrontation between him and the leaders that goes on throughout the passage we had read to us serves to underline or illustrate that Jesus is saying what he is saying by giving a contrast to it. Throughout, the leaders stubbornly refuse to accept that Jesus can be from God. So it becomes a little like you trying to explain to someone how seasons and tides and satellites work when that person has already rejected the idea that the earth is round. So they challenge him, saying that he is only appearing as his own witness. Verse 13, your testimony is not valid. Jesus' response is then, in verse 16, that he stands with the Father who sent me. He is from the Father, Jesus says. He is not only speaking for himself, for he is sent by God the Father and is only saying what the Father has directed him to say. So he does not just testify for himself. He argues there are two witnesses, he and the Father. Now the evidence has been stacking up for this being true. People have been saying things like, no one can do the things he does unless he is from God. Then there is, as we already looked, the authority with which he speaks that impresses so many people. Then there are the miracles that he performs. Now, you might have expected that Jesus would say something like, well, look what I do. Look what's happening here. As he said to the disciples in chapter 14, if you do not believe because of what I say, then believe because of the miracles themselves. But interestingly, Jesus does not call on any of those things because he knows they have already dismissed the evidence. So he's saying his authority lies in his unique relationship with the Father. He keeps taking them back to that point, because if you dismiss that, then nothing is going to make any sense and all their questions are pointless. How does the saying go? There is none so blind as he who will not see. The Jewish leaders will not entertain following him, so they do not see the light. His words make no sense to them. They are in the dark. As you read the gospel accounts, it becomes clear that the disciples are often confused and they don't understand a lot of the time, but they are following the one who can solve that. They are following the light. So he is a light to follow. But secondly, he is a light that reveals the truth. He that follows me will never walk in darkness. Now, there's two ways we can understand this and never walking in darkness, but I believe that both of those ways apply here. So if you follow the light, then you will never walk in darkness, in the sense that you will be led into what is good and away from what is not good. Now, many of you will have, I'm sure, watched Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance Most Foul. I know that because 9.3 million apparently watched it, so statistics say that many of you might have watched it. But in case you didn't, it's basically Wallace invents a robot gnome, and it's really an AI gnome, artificial intelligence gnome. The thing that intrigued me about it is the robot has an evil setting, which is triggered, and then he wreaks havoc. Won't tell you anymore if you've not seen it. But maybe it made me think that maybe a lot of our concern about artificial intelligence is that it might learn from us what we would prefer it didn't. Because we too have a tendency to follow things we shouldn't, get into stuff we shouldn't. Malicious gossiping, dishonesty, lies, deceit, just to name but a few. And the way the light guides us is to reveal what those things are. I've often felt convicted about things, been made to feel distinctly uncomfortable about something, just like someone has shone a light on it, showing it up as something I should not be saying, not thinking, not doing. The light reveals the truth about us, and it convicts us. But there is also the sense in which the light illuminates our understanding. Darkness can be a lack of understanding. You know, when sometimes you feel completely in the dark about something, you just cannot understand what's going on. For me, it's often to do with computer software. I just think, what is going on with this? Now, maybe you're all extremely clever and that never happens to you, but I doubt it somehow. Well, Jesus came in order to illuminate our understanding, not about computer software, but about life, about who God is, where I stand with him, what hope there is, what is the purpose of it all. When I became a Christian, I would have to admit I understood very little about Jesus, to be truthful. I knew I needed forgiveness and believed he could bring it. I knew I wanted to follow this Jesus and all he stood for. But it wasn't till later that I realized how much evidence for belief in him there is. How remarkable is the hidden wisdom within the Bible and his teaching, but gradually the light has revealed more and more. For example, the remarkable consistency of Scripture. My understanding is now better than it once was. And we see the same is happening here as the people listening to him. Back in chapter 7, verse 14, which is just over the page, it says, "Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, 'How did this man get such learning without having been taught?' Jesus answered, 'My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own.'" If God had not come down to us, then we would not be able to understand him, his nature, his grace, his love, his truth. But in Jesus, God's Son, he has and is revealing his truth to all who would follow him. In John chapter 1, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Which leads me then to my third point. A light that brings life. So let me just read the whole of that. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John's Gospel tells us that the one who said, "Let there be light," in the beginning, has come into the world. The light from which all life comes, from which all life has its source, both physical and spiritual, was born in Bethlehem. And now, at this point, stands in the temple to declare it. But there is, you know, a challenge in these verses, and this is it. The passage illustrates that it is not a given, not automatic, that you and I would want to come into the light. In fact, it's a bit more like this. When you wake up on one of these dark mornings and you've gotten pretty used to the darkness by this time around you, you're quite happy with it until someone turns on the light. And you say, "No, turn it off. It's all too much." You walk to the bathroom with your face screwed up and one eye shut, trying to cope with it. That's a light-hearted illustration. But John tells us a whole lot more directly in John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the verdict. "Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And everyone who does evil hates the light. They will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed." There is a pattern throughout this passage. The Jews say he cannot be from God because he comes from Galilee, or because he heals on the Sabbath, so he must be a sinner. They ask, "Well, where is your father? Who are you?" They misrepresent him, deliberately misunderstand him, mock him, and refuse to accept the evidence in front of them. But it is what Jesus still faces. The very "I am" statement we're looking at is often used to mock. "So you've seen the light, have you?" Jesus twice says to the Jews that they will die in their sins if they do not believe. The Bible declares that we are all sinful, more sinful than we ever dare admit. We don't really want the light shining on that. So what are we to do? Well, Psalm 27, as we read earlier, points something out. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" The light of life is also the light of salvation. The incredible good news is that Jesus came into the world to reveal our sin, to pour light on our dire position. But he also came in it to submit to death on a cross in order to save us from it, to bring us the light of life. In John Newton's hymn, which we've just sung, Amazing Grace, it has these two lovely lines. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. The light shows us sin at the same time as providing the answer to it. What a wonderful gospel this is. That Jesus came to be our light, a light to follow, a light to lighten our understanding, a light to reveal our own darkness, only then to be the light that brings us life and salvation. Let us then, as we enter this new year, resolve to follow that light and know the life that only He can bring. Amen.